You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. On Nantucket, on a clear night, you actually can see the Milky Way with the naked eye. But light pollution, and increasingly from LED lights, is making that harder. Local resident Grace Walker stepped in to do something about it, founding the nonprofit Nantucket Lights to advance a bylaw on the island community. WBUR climate and environment reporter Paola Mora sat down with us earlier this week to tell us that story. And I started by asking Paola about Walker's ultimate goal.
So the goal here was to create a bylaw that would combat light pollution and preserve the dark skies. This is the main thing.
And the reason is, as I understand it, the Nantucket dark sky has a pretty special view.
Yeah, I didn't know this, Tiziana, but Gail told me that it's one of the few places in eastern Massachusetts that you can see the Milky Way with the naked eye.
Have you ever seen the Milky Way?
No, I haven't.
Me either. It would be incredible to just, you know, walk out in your backyard and look up and see an entire galaxy.
Yeah, I think it changes your perspective of who you are and our place in the world.
Where you fit in the universe.
Yes, in exactly. The universe, not the world.
No, all of it. So yeah. You spoke a lot with Gail Walker, who founded Nantucket Lights. How did she first get interested in this issue?
She has been going to Nantucket for the past 40 years, and she's now a resident. And when she was noticing that after LED lights became more common, it started disrupting this view. But also, she started receiving a lot of complaints from residents about outdoor lighting that was getting to people's windows and backyards and this kind of stuff.
And you had some sound where she sounds really frustrated about this fact.
Yeah, Gail went to do some sky quality measurements, and at this place she went near the airport, she couldn't see anything of the Milky Way that she was supposed to.
The Milky Way is actually right above us right now,
and
as you can see, there's Cygnus. So the Northern Cross is here on the side, which is also known as the constellation Cygnus. And Cygnus, or the Northern Cross, falls right along the Milky Way, actually. So it's actually going right over our heads.
So we should be able to see it, but we can't.
Yeah, but we can't see it.
Yeah, this is a conversation between Gail Walker and Regina Jorgensen, who is the astronomer in Nantucket. She's the director of astronomy of the Mariah Mitchell Association, which is the organization that takes care of two observatories in the island. They were there trying to measure how bright that area was. And you can see that Regina knows it because she's an astronomer, that they were just below the Milky Way, but another person wouldn't know, and Gail couldn't see it.
So, Paola, you talk about the fact that Gail is really passionate about this, and this was something that struck me in your story. There's a lot of things in a lot of communities that people care a lot about, but not everybody starts a nonprofit organization and actually gets a bylaw passed. So what was it sort of for Gail that took her to this level of care?
Yeah, she used to work as a federal trial attorney, and this nonprofit ended up being her retirement project. She said she wants to protect the dark sky for herself, but also, as we will listen here, she has a broader motivation.
I love the night sky, and I want to preserve it for my children and my grandchildren. But more broadly, I just wanted to do something to give back to the Nantucket community.
So she does. She creates a bylaw, and it's fairly complicated in its depth, which, you know, bylaws can be. But Paola, I think you can take us down to three or four key elements that she wanted her community to pass. What were these three or four key things in the bylaw?
Yeah, so this bylaw mainly wants that the most lights, they're not too bright. There's a limit for how bright they can be. And also the lights will be pointed down, so they have to be shielded. And the other thing that the bylaw does limits the time of the outdoor lighting. It's from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. There are some exceptions for safety and security, but mostly, like at night, most lights will be turned down. And there's also a limit that regulates the amount of blue light that can be emitted. It's guided by the Massachusetts Medical Society, and the outdoor lights must be in a warmer range.
So we're talking with WBUR's Paula Mora here about a quest to return the dark sky to Nantucket. And Paula, this blue light thing was really interesting to me because it would not occur to me that sort of the shade of light in a bulb could be dangerous, maybe a melodramatic word, but harmful. And yet you found in reporting the story that that is, in fact, the case.
Yeah. I spoke to Mario Mota. He's a physician, and he used to be the president of the Massachusetts Medical Society. And he was explaining that, like, all lights, they can affect the circadian rhythm, like our ability to get to sleep and produce melatonin. But the blue light suppresses melatonin about 10 times more than the red wavelengths of light. So the impact is enormous. This can lead to a higher rate of diseases such as cancer, diabetes, and so on. There are many they have been studying recently.
And in animals, it can be a problem as well, right?
Yeah, it affects a lot, the animals, especially the night animals. For example, the baby sea turtles, they need the orientation of light so they're not eaten by the predators. It affects the reproduction of male crickets, fireflies, and also the hatching of the clownfish eggs, and even the trees, and also the moth. It's like so many.
I mean, it's incredible. And as I understand it, if I understand your reporting, this is where LED comes in, because LED bulbs are what produce this blue light.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And yeah, and more recently, we have LED with warmer lights, more towards to the red spectrum. So these ones are the ones that Dark Sky International is recommending, and doctors also recommend.
Okay. So as I understand it, the bylaw passed, but not without some resistance from, interestingly, the schools in Nantucket.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And the school superintendent, Elizabeth Hollett, she even proposed an amendment to exempt all municipal buildings from the bylaw. She was worried about security for the students, staff, or other people who could be around.
So she liked the idea of lots of bright light around the building at night because students are coming in and out. Well, that does seem like a reasonable concern.
Yeah, but in the end, this amendment didn't pass because the bylaw already had exceptions for safety and emergency situations.
Okay, so her concerns would be taken care of by the bylaw that did pass.
Yes.
Okay, so how long till it goes into effect?
Yeah, so the bylaw will take into effect on January 1st, 2024. Homeowners, businesses, and public entities will have 5 years to update their lighting. So there'll be some time. And Gail, she's preparing a handbook to guide the residents and businesses that will need to do this change. And she is also planning to raise funds to help those who can afford it.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. Did they have a sense? Does she have a sense? Do you know from your reporting, for the average person, how expensive will this be? Do we know?
No, we don't know yet. She's still working on the budget.
But she wants to go further, right? She wants to become, what's it called, the first international dark sky community in the Northeast. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So, as you know, like the Northeast and even like the East Coast is an area that when you see those satellite maps, you see a lot of lighting.
Yeah.
So most of the dark sky communities, dark sky places, they are more on the West Coast or the middle of the country. But Gail wants Nantucket to become the first one here. And to do that, you have to keep a certain brightness level that will allow people to see the dark sky.
And Paula, are other Massachusetts communities looking to learn from Gail Walker or from Nantucket?
So the Massachusetts chapter of Dark Sky International is putting together a blueprint of an ordinance that could be an example for towns and cities in Massachusetts that are larger than Nantucket. And also other advocates have been for 20 years pushing for a statewide bill that would regulate lighting projects that would be made by the state. The bill is not as strict as Nantucket's, but it's still being analyzed at the State House.
That's something that's worth watching. All right, Paula Mora, WBUR climate and environment reporter, Always great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Paula spoke with us in Studio 2 earlier this week. Whenever we talk about the wonders of the night sky, we find ourselves wanting to hear from Kelly Beatty, contributor to Sky and Telescope magazine and communications officer for the Massachusetts chapter of the nonprofit Dark Sky International. So we called him. Kelly, welcome back.
Hey, Tiziana. Good morning.
Great to have you. So first, you followed this effort on Nantucket pretty closely. Why?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, Nantucket is a special place. And I think the reason that Gale got so much traction is in part because people go to that island to immerse themselves in a slowed down, laid back kind of environment. And the night sky is part of that. As Paola said, you know, it's one of the few places on the East Coast where you can still enjoy the night sky in all its glory. And I just want to impress upon people that two things. First of all, this is not about just astronomy. As Paula mentioned, there's human health involved, nocturnal environments. Moths, which are one of the major pollinators, do their thing at night. Fireflies do their thing at night. And so for many reasons, controlling light pollution is important. The second thing is that it's scary, but a recent study has shown that worldwide, and this includes the U.S., light pollution is increasing at about 10% per year. That's unsustainable. This is an existential threat to, you know, the nighttime environment, to being able to see the night sky at all.
So I want to stay with this night sky piece, Kelly. You know, it's almost hard for me to get my head around the wonder of being able to look up at the sky and situate myself in the galaxy.
Yeah, you know, we just passed the 20-year anniversary of a huge power outage throughout the Northeast, where for the first time, tens of millions of people got to see the night sky from their cities and towns that had never been able to do it before. And so what we're seeing is that there is increased appreciation for this grandeur that we see at night, and people do want to do something about it. So they can do so locally. There are like more than 50 towns in Massachusetts that have some sort of night sky, dark sky, outdoor lighting ordinance. And what we're trying to do in the State House is to rein in state and municipal lighting projects, which are typically not covered at the local level. And there's this general awareness that, you know, if I were giving this interview 15 years ago, I would be seen as a really fringy kind of guy, but not so anymore. Pretty much everyone has heard about light pollution, and in many cases, they don't know what to do about it. And so that's why we're here. Education is the key.
So I don't think I've ever asked you this before, Kelly, and we're speaking with Kelly Beatty, who wears many hats, but one is as a contributor to Sky and Telescope magazine. Do you remember the moment when you first looked up at the night sky and fell in love?
Oh, sure. I was 10 years old. You know, I lived in Central California growing up, and that wonder has never left me. I'm still as enthusiastic as ever. Immersing myself in the deep dark of a night sky is just a magical experience. I was up in Maine for a week this summer at a place that draws amateur astronomers. And the problem is that there are fewer and fewer places to do that. I'm not naive. I know that we need lighting for safety and security. Our goal here is not to eliminate lighting, but to do it smartly in a way that is environmentally sustainable. And that's what these bills, our Gale's Nantucket Ordinance, the one that we for Dark Sky International have just created that will be rolled out for towns, not just in Massachusetts, but everywhere that wants to adopt it. The state bill, it takes many different approaches to control this lighting. The advent of LEDs has been in some ways a godsend. They're super efficient. They're really very smart environmentally if they're done correctly. And too often they are not.
Before we let you go, Kelly, so as we're striving to preserve this dark night sky, to be able to see what's up there right now? What can people see in the dark night sky now in New England?
So, Gale Walker alluded to it. If you go outside at night and look straight up, there is a constellation called Cygnus, and three bright stars are overhead called the Summer Triangle. The Milky Way slams right through them. And if your sky is dark enough, you can see that Milky Way. It's glowing puffs of cloud. If you're unfortunate enough to live where there's a lot of light pollution, I can still draw your attention. Turn to the east after sunset. Look low in the east. You'll see a bright star. That is the planet Saturn. Wait a little bit later into the night, like 10 o'clock, and there's another even brighter star that appears over the eastern horizon. That's Jupiter. And they're going to be with us for many months to come for our enjoyment.
That's exciting. Kelly Beatty, contributor to Sky and Telescope magazine and communications officer for the Massachusetts chapter of the nonprofit Dark Sky International. It's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Tiziana.